Okay, we're continuing on Daf Chaf Beis on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph 22A, about 6-7 lines from the top, which should be probably 22A1 or 2, one of those early on there. We discussed in the Mishnah, remember, if a person plows on Yontif a combination of an ox and a donkey, with kilayim, etc., etc., that's hegdish, whatever, you transgress 8 sins. And the Gemara was suggesting maybe there should be more than 8 sins. And now we got frozen a little bit here, so hang on. It's just taking a second. It's in a mood right now. It's okay. We're there. Okay, so now we come back. To similar question. We're saying, well, maybe there should be another one. We tried one of those questions last time. We knocked that off. So Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, says Rav Ashi that. So we talked about. Just the last thing we talked about is about an Asherah. Remember, if you recall. Remember, there was this brisa. Well, we're really in this middle of a discussion. This other brisa that says you can get 5 averos for eating. Remember, eating the gita anusha. That brisa, yeah. Eating the gita anusha with milk and this and that. And they were also discussing, you know, which averos is it? You get 2 punishments for yontif, or separate punishments for yontif. I said, well, you take one out, put another one in. So the Gemara ended off and said, well, let's talk about an Asherah wood, a tree from an idol, and he was using that as the fuel, and that's the Avera he's transgressing. So if the Bryce is speaking that he used Asherah wood for fuel, the little Kanami, so now you should get another lashes. Mishum lo savi soeva beisecha. There's another negative commandment that says you shall not bring an abomination into your home.
Even if you're burning it.
Right? So therefore you'd be liable for 6 lashes. And why? What does that really mean? It means one who benefits from an idol or its accoutrements violates the prohibition as well. So now he's benefiting from it. So that becomes an extra avera. So if it's an extra avera, if you're going to talk about atze, asherah, wood from idols, on top of the avera of the idol worshipping tree that it is that you're burning, you're also benefiting from it. So that's going to make it 6 and not 5. Gemara says, okay, elahach my skin. Therefore, we have to amend that brisa again, and to say it's not atze asherah trees from an idol, but rather kigon shabish lubatze hektish. You are taking consecrated wood from the temple. And you're burning that. So that's the one avera, as opposed to the 2 that you have for idol-worshipping trees. And what's the warning that says you're not allowed to benefit from those consecrated items, that you'll be lashed for that? Vazharta mehocha, and the warning is from here, where it says, interestingly, Vashrehem tisrufim beish. You will destroy idol worshipping trees. In other words, just destroy them, not benefit them, just destroy them. Go and destroy all the idols and destroy everything. But lo sasu kein Hashem elokeichem. But don't do it to Hashem your God. Which means the pasuk says we have to destroy Asherah trees. And we can, but also, just like you're destroying Asherah trees, you're not allowed to destroy things that are consecrated to Hashem. So therefore, by burning hektish wood, you transgress that prohibition, and that's the lashes, and that's the 5 that you are going to get.
What kind of a tree is
that
Asherah?
They plant a tree to worship idols.
No, but is it a certain category of tree?
No, it could be any tree. I don't know. But it's a tree you're planting specifically in terms of idol worship. Yes. All right, so we figured out how that brisa has 5 prohibitions. We're out of the woods on that. However, we go back now to our plowing scenario. That said you get 8 lashes for that. And now we have a number of questions that are saying really should be more than 8. And here's the mnemonic device, as if we're going to remember it, but Simon Shan Bai Schnaz. Okay, that's every letter is a beginning of a question, okay? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 questions are going to come up, but they're fairly short and rapid, most of them. Okay, so you say there are 8. Well, let's see if there's a few more. Maskifla Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya objects to the listing of the Mishnah. Why is it only 8? Let's come up. We can come up with more. When it says 8, it means that's the maximum. You can't get more than 8 on one shot.
That's a lot of lies.
So hang on. I can think of a 9th one. Let's also, V'lich Shov Nami, let's consider also if this was all done in a Nachal Eson. In a place that's called a Nachal Eson. What's a Nachal Eson? Okay, we already learned that if a person murdered somewhere out in the open fields, and we don't know who did it, there's a whole idea of bringing an Egla Arufa, a calf whose neck is decapitated, to bring atonement for the Jewish people. Now it's brought to a valley, and that valley, once you break the Egla Arufa, that area of the valley, you're not allowed to benefit from that area. You can't farm that area. Now, it's not the whole area, but a certain amount of area. And that's called a Nachal Eson. It's called a valley of hard soil. Okay? And that certain area in that valley is where its neck is broken, and people are not allowed to benefit from that area. So why did we say there's only 8? What if you're plowing in a Nachal Eson? In this place where you're not allowed, the Torah tells you in the next pasuk, Vasharta, and the warning to not do it, Mehacha, is from the following pasuk, where it says, no, not that. I don't want to email this to anybody.
It's a real long shot.
It says, Vehoridu zikna irahi, the elder of the city shall bring Esa Egla, this calf, El Nachal Eson, to this valley, Asher Lo Yeyaved Bo Velo Yizoreya, which will not be able to be worked or planted. That's where you break the neck, you decapitate it there. Clearly, that's the warning. Asher Lo Yeyaved Bo Velo Yizoreya. So therefore, if we plant it in such a place, it'll be a 9th prohibition. Okay. Okay.
That shall
let's
not.
See, let's see. Although, yeah, what?
That shall not is, the soil is hard anyway, so why are they trying to plant in an area that can't grow? It's almost like that shall not. We're choosing to.
Although the valley used for this ritual must be inhospitable to agricultural endeavors, as its name suggests, it can never be successfully worked if extraordinary effort is expended, and this is the Torah prohibits.
Never mind.
Jews never give up.
Never mind.
Okay, that was your question. Very good. You asked the question of the Ritva. Very good. Okay, now, interestingly, commentary adds, although in Rav Hoshaya's case the plower has plowed and sown in the Nachal Eson, and both actions are explicitly proscribed by the verse, it says you can't work and can't sow. Now, we've already determined in our list of 8, right, there was issues of the planting and the sowing. Rav Hoshaya mentions only sowing. Wait a minute, you should have had 9 and 10. They're sowing and planting. Some derive from here that plowing and sowing are merely components of one general prohibition against working the Nachal Eson. So they feel it's only one prohibition. Fine. Now, interestingly, the Gemara does not respond to this challenge. This question, the Gemara's not going to answer, or to those that follow. There's a list now. It's going to be like 6 or so questions. Well, why did you add this one? Why didn't you add this one? Why didn't you add this one? And the Gemara doesn't respond to them. Tosos explained the Gemara is relying on its answer to the challenge issued above. Okay? Remember what was above. Remember Gemara asked, let the plower of the Mishnah incur a 9th set of lashes for sowing on Yontif. Remember? The Gemara there responded, the Mishnah was stating some prohibitions and omitting others. Tana v'shayer. Doesn't list them all. I think Gemara asked the question, though, but it said 8. Why would it only say left over? That would seem to be the case now as well. The Mishnah could indeed have listed the categories of sowing in a nachal eson, but omitted them. And although the Gemara above refuted that answer, the Tana stated eight, and you say he stated some and omitted others, remember? Said eight. Why are you saying he left out others? That rebuttal is inapplicable here. For there, the challenger's point was that another Yom Tov-related transgression existed and would have been enumerated, and so the figure 8 is incorrect, because that was already mentioned something about Yom Tov. So you could, if you're already mentioning Yom Tov, add another thing about Yom Tov. Whereas here, it is understandable that Tana did not wish to mention this additional group of uncommon transgressions. In other words, he's saying like this. When we had 8... and one of the ideas was, and one of the 8, and we're saying it was done on Yom Tov. That is the base case. So, well, if it's Yom Tov, well, there's another one. Just say the other one. Because, well, it didn't let us all. What do you mean? We're talking about Yom Tov. It should mention it. But now we're asking, well, you know, you could have more than 8. You know, what if it was that kind of a valid? So that, you could say that already, that the Tan is not thinking of every possible thing, and in the valley will be 9, and the next one will be a different way and another way. It's giving you one straight case and make it happen. Now, of course, he did add Yom Tov, but in other words, he's showing you could get 8 in this scenario, and you're right. If you can create other scenarios, maybe it will be more than that. But, you know, the Tana wasn't interested in trying to show all the different possible scenarios. When we said, but wait a minute, how can you say it left out the extra one on Yom Tov? Well, that's because you already mentioned the cases in Yom Tov. So if it's in Yom Tov already, so add what's applicable to Yom Tov. But now you want to say, if you're at a valley in that, well, then that is just understood. So in other words, you're right. The Gemara is really going to agree. The Mishnah said 8. Yeah, and if you'll craft new scenarios, then maybe you can have more than 8. And that's how it's going to be. To really, even though the Gemara doesn't want to bother answer, it's assuming you know the answer. Well, he only listed 8, and he's not here to make a whole shopping list. That's going to be the same way for the next 5-6 things. Maski flor Rav Chananya. Chananya asks a similar type of question. So how about, why don't we figure out this? Not fair to raise Hashem's name. So what if while you're plowing, there happens to be Hashem's name somewhere in the ground, and he's plowing out the name? Someone could, you know, put God's name, write it on the ground. Could write it on the ground, and I plowed it out. Right? So, you know, that, again, v'hasharta, and where's the warning? Me'acha, from here it says, v'avadna meshmam v'lozasukein l'Hashem. We just quoted the pasuk. You have to destroy the idols, but you don't do that to Hashem. So you destroy all mentioning of idols, but you don't destroy Hashem. So the Mishnah could have stipulated the plow sliced through an object lying in the ground upon which God's name was written. Let's say you have a piece of chumash with Hashem's name on the ground. He just plowed it right through and ripped the chumash to shreds. That would be the case. All right, so we're supposed to. So you're not allowed to do that. So
it's not only if it's on purpose.
Warning. Well, he's doing this on purpose.
Yeah,
he's doing this on Yom Tov. He's doing this with Kilayim.
But he might not know that Hashem's name is there.
We're talking about when he does know, obviously. We're saying when he knows. So more is not going to answer that either. It's saying, you're right. That'll be another one too, but we're not picking an extra case like that. Maskil Ravo Ravo asks from another way, how about a person who's cutting off a tzaras lesion? When a person has certain symptoms of tzaras, supposed to go to the Kohen, he's supposed to tell you if it is actual tzaras or not. And if you have actual tzaras, you have to do the process till it goes away. What if a guy figured, I'm going to be smart. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to my local skin doctor and say, just surgically remove the entire piece of tzaras.
Wow.
So Torah says you're not allowed to do that. Even though it might get rid of it.
I'm doing it with a plow.
Oh, let's see. You're right. Very good question.
Really? Oh, you're joking.
Let's see. Let's see what's going to happen. Lasarte, and the warning is mehacha. It says he shamar b'neged tzaras. Take heed, considering the affliction of tzaras. So yeah, could have been stipulated. He cut off that lesion with the plow while plowing.
That's right.
Okay, had the plower cut off the behar spot with another implement, even while engaged in plowing, the ruble would not have been an outgrowth of the act of plowing. So as he's plowing, okay, I'll just put my hand a little bit in front of the plow here, and precision plowing over here. Okay? Mask, if Abaye asks a different way, let's reckon the case of one who loosens the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol from the ephod. When the Kohen Gadol worked his eight garments, one was the breastplate, and one was the ephod, was the apron, and they were connected. And they had to be connected. Now, there's a prohibition of disconnecting them. Okay? So, what if you took a Kohen Gadol's breastplate and plowed over that and separated them? Or, how about another one? Or, v'hameisir b'ayaret, or removing the poles from the ark, from the rings. You remember when they carried them, you have to keep them together. And in both cases, maybe he knocked them both off together too. And the warning is from this pasuk: "V'lo yasuru, you should not remove the poles from the ark. V'lo yizach hachosh, you shall not loosen the breastplate from the apron." So let's say while he was plowing, he was doing these things. So let's say he transgressed those. Maski v'lo Ravashi. Ravashi gives another scenario: "V'lichshav nami acharis be'atzei shera." Let's reckon that one who plows with atzei ashara. A plow is made out of wood. So he took idol worshipping wood to benefit from that. Vasarti already know the warning. Me'achem from there, it says, "Well, yidcha b'cha mu'ma." Nothing from the idols should stay by you. You shouldn't benefit from them. Or another case, Maski v'Ravina. Ravina says, "V'lichshav nami hakotzei tzilonos tova." Someone who's just cutting down a good tree. There's a prohibition to cut down a useful, productive fruit tree. So let's say as he's plowing, he just knocks off the fruit tree. You are allowed to cut down non-useful fruit trees. As we had in our backyard, we had for years, always, there was this pear tree right adjacent to the deck that would be close to the sukkah, would hang over the sukkah and drop all kinds of pears on the ground. It was a bee fest. All right? And we suffered from that for years, but we can't knock it down. It's a pear tree. You can't cut down a pear tree. What? No, everywhere. Can't cut down a pear tree. But Baruch Hashem, over the last 6 or 7 years, it showed signs of illness.
Oh, you were happy.
Because you could tell when it doesn't produce so many fruits and the fruits fall off and it gets sometimes doesn't produce. So so when the guy was building the deck this year, we said, what about the fruit tree? He looked at the fruit tree is diseased. He says, the fruit tree is diseased. So I said, really? He says, it's diseased. So he cut it. And when he cut it down, he came to the bottom, he said, look. And he took a picture of it. In the fruit tree were millions of termites.
Oh, wow.
Live termites. Now, Baruch Hashem, I don't have a house made out of wood. Right? So clearly, that was a fruit tree. That was a... You're allowed to cut that down. Because it's, especially if you'd have a house made out of wood.
Can you locate the tree?
Okay, I don't want to give the laws of fruit trees now, okay? We're just saying, what if you cut down, while you're plowing, you cut down a fruit tree? Vazharta, and the warning is, mehalcha, from the following. Kimimenu sochel, it's talking when the Jews go to war. You now just cut down a fruit tree for the heck of it. Why? Because it says, because from it you eat, va'oso lo sichros, and you shall not cut it down. Okay, fine. Now the final question is a little bit longer question. Now, until now, the Gemara has understood that the Tanna of our Mishnah has listed some of the possible plowing-related prohibition and has omitted others, as we said, Tanna v'Shire. We're not going to list every possible scenario that could exist beyond the case we gave. So it's accepted the 7 additional prohibition without any discussion. You're right. Tanna v'Shire, the Tanna is not a peddler. It's not going to give every possible scenario. It gives you one scenario where you can be chayav 8 things, and in this particular scenario, you're only chayav 8. And if you want to suggest, well, maybe it was a fruit tree, maybe it's this, we're not going to argue with you, but we're not peddling every case. Okay, now, nevertheless, where are we up to here? Whoop-a-doo. Nevertheless, due to the inherent weakness of the answer, it's incumbent upon the Tanna to itemize at least the majority of any grouping. Until now, we perceive that our Tanna has done just that, since he has stated 8 prohibitions and omitted only 7. You understand what's going on over here? He lists, the Tanna said, well, for this you're going to get 8. They'll say, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? Okay, so now we've omitted a lot. Now the question is, so we started with 8 prohibitions. That's listed. But from all the questions we asked, there were 7. So now we've omitted only 7. Or this new challenge threatens to upset the balance and thereby undermine the answer of Tanav Ashayer. So now the Gemara is going to go to great lengths to bar inclusion of this new prohibition. In other words, what goes on is, you know, you have to at least list, when you're saying a list, let's say there's 15 things on your list, and you want to give a listing, you have to at least mention the majority of the items could be. So you did an act that has 8 prohibitions. So, okay, so we don't have to say every single one. We did 8, we did the majority. So far we listed 7 other possibilities, so we're not mentioning them. Okay, you mentioned 8, you left out 7. But what if we're going to give you another one, and now you're going to tell me it's an 8th one? You're going to say, well, we listed 8 and we left out 8.
Yeah,
you're leaving out as much as you put in. Usually when you, okay, here's a list, I listed 8 and we omitted 2. Okay, I listed 8, we omitted 5. Okay, I listed 8, omitted 7. Okay. But now you listed 8 and you're leaving out 8? Well, that's already a bit of a problem. So up to now, we're up to 7 that were omitted. So comes Rav Seira to Rav Mani. He said to Rav Mani, well, I'm going to show you an 8th example. He says, V'lichshav nami, konda omer shvua shal echosh b'yontav. What if the guy made an oath before Yontav? He said, I make an oath, I won't plow on Yontav. And now by plowing on Yontav, he'll violate his oath, and you get lashed for that. Torah says, if a man takes a vow to Hashem or swears an oath to establish a prohibition about himself, he shall not desecrate his word according to whatever comes from his house. He shall do. Now, so regarding whether Reb Zera could have suggested a case where the plower had made a vow not to plow on Yontif, okay, that's what's going on. So he rendered the plow forbidden to him for use. Okay,
but
so...
Now, isn't there a thing which says that you can't make a wrong oath, which is wrong to start with? Like, I won't eat tarif for some reason. It's not an oath.
Oh, very good. You're so smart, Romeo. That's Gemara's question. So Gemara answers, or rather the answer to the question, where it says, that's not it, because hasam lo kachos, there the oath will not take effect at all. Why? Because mushpava oimed mehar Sinai. We all have sworn at our Sinai to this. Already from the Torah. Right? Everybody accepted all the laws. Right? So, for example, the Mishnah Shavuos teaches that if one swears to fulfill a mitzvah and does not fulfill it, he is exempt from the chatas arming that's normally incurred by one who swears falsely. Where they explains and proves that when Scripture imposes a chatas on one who swears falsely to do bad or do good, it refers to a voluntary bad or good, not to that that is either forbidden or commanded by the Torah. Once God makes you keep it, you already are adjured from the Torah to not do it. So therefore, we couldn't include this because you wouldn't get lashed for it. So he's still persistent on the question. He said, well, okay, I'll craft it in a way that it wasn't prohibited. Amarle, nevertheless, it's possible for a personal oath to take effect on Yontif, even though you're not allowed to plow on Yontif. How's he going to pull that one off? It gets a little bit technical here. Kilon Amar, let's say, said, this was the oath. Shvua shlo echrash bein b'chol bein b'yontif. He makes an oath like this. I won't plow on a weekday or Yontif. Now, weekday, you're allowed to plow on a weekday. So it's going to, the weekday part will take effect. We're going to say, once my vow took effect for part of my vow, then we'll throw in the other part. I couldn't make a vow alone. I make a vow, I won't plow on Yontif. Torah says you can't. But if I say I'm not going to plow on a weekday, that for sure takes effect. What if I say I'm not going to plow on a weekday and on Yontif?
Why couldn't you just say
so now, the Migu, since the Chala Aleha, Shua b'chol, since the vow definitely takes effect that he can't plow with it on Yontif, on the weekday, will take effect also on Yontif. And here's bringing a new rule over here. Here's a new point now. An oath not to plow at any time is called an iser kolel, an inclusive prohibition. The oath bans both things heretofore permissible and things already prohibited. Thus, it takes effect with regard to the previously permissible things. It takes effect with regard to the already prohibited things as well. In other words, you can have it once I've made a... There is a prohibition. The Torah says you can't plow on Yom Tov. Fine. But if I say, I'm going to say something even more than that, I can't ever plow. So now you've added a new thing. It's part of that new vow. And now it goes on everything. Okay, so that'll do it. Ah, so now you got me on that one. So he says, no, it's still not going to be a good case. And it gets him on a technicality. Because when a person makes such a vow, is there a way to get out of the vow?
Yes.
How do you get out of the vow? You go to the rabbi and say, I never meant to make the vow. Ah, so then retroactively, it wasn't a vow. If you say, on Monday, I made the following vow. Then on Wednesday, you go to the rabbi and say, you know, I really regret making the vow. He annuls it. And when does it take, the annulment take effect?
From the day.
Not from when he annuls it, but he uproots it to begin with. So, midi, the eishiv is shaila lo, k'tani. We're not mentioning cases that are subject to annulment. And it eliminates the oath retroactively. So we didn't want to pick a case like this because you won't necessarily get lashed. Because even if he plows on Yom Tov, if he goes to rabbi the next day, he'll knock that oath off. So that's one thing less to get lashed. So we only want to list things that are going to be permanent.
What's Migo?
Since you got one to the other. He says, but you can knock that off by retroactively nullifying it. The Gemara challenges the answer for law, and it doesn't list such a case of retroactively things. Wait a minute, look what's on the list already. What did we say we had? What was part of the list? For a hektish, we said there were animals that were hektish. They were sanctified. That was our case. Well, he could turn around to Rabbi and say, you know, I want to know my vow. When you sanctify things, that's like a promise, right? So it's subject to an annulment. Okay, it says Arei Hekdesh. Now, these were animals consecrated for the temple treasury, like Beis Hillel, so you can annul such a vow. But that was one of the cases we listed. Okay, very Hekdesh. So Gemara answers, it's not talking about a Hekdesh that you gave, but before it's a firstborn animal, and that you can't knock off retroactively. Okay, Gemara says, well, there's another case in the Mishnah that you could annul. How about Varei Nazir? He said, I'm a Nazir. He was a Nazir. Okay, but a Nazir can also, you can retroactively knock it off. So what's going to answer? There is one Nazir you can't knock off. What's that one? B'Nazir Shimshin. Person who spoke of making himself a Nazir Shimshin, which cannot be annulled. He says, I want to be a Nazir like Shimshin. Okay. The Gemara asks, wait a minute. Nazir Shimshin Bar Itam Nil Mesu, but is a Shimshin Nazir subject to prohibition of a corpse? We said it was in a cemetery with a corpse. But a Nazir Shimshin, although it cannot be annulled, but that doesn't have the same as a regular Nazir, because that you can be metamed to a corpse. So then that won't work then. So you wanted to answer, it's a Nazir Shimshin, which he can't annul the vow. To which the Gemara says, wait a minute, if it's a Nazir Shimshin, but we mentioned the case is in a cemetery where he could be tummy for mace, but a Nazir Shimshin isn't tummy for an ace. Right? Right? Since the Mishnah counts a Nazir's plowing in a contaminated place as the last transgression, can't be referring to Shimshin Nazir, so we got to revise Rav Zeira's revised question. Why the Mishnah did not teach additional transgression? One who violated oath not to plow at any time. So we're coming back. See, it trickles all the way back. We started by saying, let's say that it was on Yom Tov. It was what? It was, he made a vow. But then with the vow, and we came to, well, if it was the vow, then it could be annulled and this and that. Then we say, well, no, but what about other cases can be annulled? So then we see, well, we're stuck. These are things that could be annulled. So saying that it's annulled isn't going to really answer the original question of the vow. So we're back to the original question. Well, why don't we just say he made the vow, he won't plow on Yom Tov, and on a weekday? We're back to that question. Because we want to say, well, we don't pick cases that get annulled. But we're stuck. Our Mishnah is talking about a Nazir that could be annulled. So we did pick cases to be annulled. So now we're going back to our original question. Well, what about, let's say it's a case where the guy said, I make a vow, I will not plow on a weekday and on a yontif, and that's the extra, and it applies, you're not allowed to do on yontif, but I threw in something extra by weekday, and that added on, so therefore it can add on to the yontif as well. But that's assuming you say that you can add on that way. But that's a machlokes. So therefore, we have to say, Elahai Tana, this Tana does not hold like your question. He holds Iser Kol Eleisle. He does not hold of a thing of an inclusive prohibition takes effect. He says, doesn't matter. Even if you're adding on other things, it doesn't add on to what Yontif is finished. So that's the end to that case. Okay. We got let's stop it here, and we got two more lines to the Mishnah, and then once we get to the next Mishnah, which they say we're home free, because the last two pages are easy. Okay, we'll stop it over here.
Thank you. Shkoyach, everybody.